to the Grace Hour, the live international talk radio ministry of Greater Grace Church in Baltimore, Maryland. You can join us on the air today by calling 1-800-338-7060 or 410-483-3700 from outside of the United States. Now, here is our host.
And welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour. We're broadcasting live here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in beautiful, sunny Baltimore, Maryland. Great to have you with us, friends, on this Friday afternoon as we wrap up another week of broadcasting live right here on the Grace Hour. And it's been a great theme as we, again, are inching ever closer to our Christmas celebration. This week's theme, of course, Prepare Ye the Way of the Lord. And we've had a lot of fun and a lot of joy and anticipation and excitement as we've addressed this theme and subject. And we appreciate those of you that have joined us when the phone lines have been open and weighed in and shared your thoughts with us and made your contributions to the broadcast as well. And we hope that you'll do just that today. Following our devotional message, we'll open those phone lines and give you the opportunity to once again participate and join us live on the Grace Hour. It's simple. Pick up your phone, dial one of these numbers. Toll free in all of North America, that number is 800-338-7060. Again, toll free, 800-338-7060. And that local number for those of you tuning in, listening right here in the Baltimore area, is 410-483-3700. And for those of you that are overseas and you'd like to join us outside of North America, you too would dial that local number, 410-483-3700. And we really appreciate you taking the time to join us. We know your schedules are quite busy, but we're glad that you make time out of those busy schedules to join us live right here on the Grace Hour. We'd like to take this opportunity to welcome our local listeners, those of you that tune into the Grace Hour here in Baltimore on WRBS. And we broadcast live on WRBS from 1 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And we want to remind you folks that when the half hour is up, if you can, transition over to the internet at gracehour.org and join us for the full hour-long broadcast. That's where everyone else is tuning into the Grace Hour on the internet. And want to welcome all of you and those of you, of course, that are listening and watching on Facebook Live and YouTube Live. Welcome to all of you today to the Friday edition of the Grace Hour. And to bring today's Grace Hour message, Pastor Bruce Wright. Pastor Wright, why don't you get that, your headphones all set?
There we go.
Ah, welcome.
Thank you, Pastor Love. You know, the making, or what's our theme? Our theme is Prepare Ye for the Way of the Lord. And it's pretty awesome to think that the God who created the universe, that there's to be a preparation made for him. Why wouldn't he prepare his own way? Well, I mean, in actuality, he has, and that's important. But what is it that in our own hearts, and we'll get a chance to talk about this, and we'd love to hear what you, in fact, are thinking and doing concerning this Advent season and what it means to be prepared for Christmas and the celebration thereof. And of course, for many of us, it's many, many years or many decades of observing the Christmas Advent. And so it's been something that has been built into our lives and is very important. But let's go back to how the Lord made preparation for himself. And before entering into the human race and before coming to the earth, Israel, well, they had a relationship with him, and that's amazing. So I want us to look at Luke chapter 1 and seeing some things here. Luke chapter 1 and verse 17, dealing with John the Baptist, okay? And in our class of you know, we taught in Maryland Bible College and Seminary, heroes of the Bible or leaders, great leaders of the Bible, and John the Baptist was certainly one of them. The interesting thing is that in Matthew 11:11, he was considered the greatest born among women, and that was Jesus Christ giving him that declaration. And you'd have to think, well, what great thing did he, in fact, do? Well, it's pretty amazing because he, in fact, was the bridge, the one that was going to prepare for the Lord Jesus Christ to come, prepare a people, prepare hearts. And he had a message, and we're going to take a look at that. But in Luke chapter 1 and verse 17, it says, "And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias." Now, this is mentioned because, of course, in Isaiah 40 and verse 3, we get the quote and the issue here that John the Baptist was proclaiming, and rightfully so, because he was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says here that he prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And that's pretty amazing because, of course, you have the contrast between the highway and the wilderness. And this happens to be, you know, the condition of the human heart, that in its wilderness experience, God is going to make a new and living way for that heart to come to himself. But going back to John the Baptist here, and very interesting, it says that he is going to turn the hearts, this is Luke 1:17, turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, what do you think is the preparation of the people who have to be prepared before the Lord? I mean, what was it that they needed to repent? And, you know, John's message was a message to Israel as a nation. His message wasn't the message of the gospel, but it was a message preparing men and women for the gospel, for the good news. And this is one of the reasons why he was considered greatest born among women. And his message is pretty astonishing if we were to think of it, okay? Because what was he dealing with? What was the condition of Israel at this time? Well, they had a presumptive attitude. They had a very familiar attitude. We find this in Malachi chapter 2, and the powerful thing about Malachi and the second chapter here is that it has everything to do with how people were thinking at that time. So whenever we find the issue of repentance, okay, then that happens to be what is involved with changing one's way of thinking. I want you to think of that. Not necessarily just from sin as a practice, but of course, the practice of sin comes from a darkened heart. Practice of sin comes from an unregenerate heart. The practice of sin comes from the old sin nature. And when I change the way that I think according to the gospel, that I'm born again, I come to terms with the Savior, the Messiah who has come and who will rescue me from myself. And that's the key. But notice, please, in Malachi chapter 2, this was the mindset. This is what John the Baptist was calling men and women to repent from so that they would be a people prepared for the Lord. It says in 2:17 in Malachi, "You have wearied the Lord with your words." Wow. You have wearied the Lord with your many words. What? Religious prayers, but not heart prayers. Prayers that are said because of tradition and routine. "You've wearied the Lord with your words. You say, wherein have we wearied him?" So here's the thing. The Lord comes and he brings an indictment he puts his finger on the pulse of Israel, and they say, "Hey, we're okay. You know, what do you mean, Lord, that we have wearied you?" Well, he qualifies it. He says, "You have wearied him by saying that all who do evil are good in the Lord's sight, and he is pleased with them. You have wearied him by asking, where is the God of justice?" I want to revisit this later on in the broadcast. Hopefully we can. What was happening here? Well, it's reiterated again in Malachi 3, verse 7. And it says, "Ever since the days of your ancestors, you have scorned my decrees and failed to obey them. Now return to me, and I will return to you." This is God speaking to his people. This is his desire to have a relationship with them. And what was their response? Well, they said, "How can we return when we have never gone away?" You know, so you see, John the Baptist was saying, repent from that way of thinking. Why? Because from Malachi to Matthew, we've got 430 years of silence, God being inactive towards Israel, and Israel being in this attitude, you know, presumptuous, familiar, religious, but not right with God. And so here's a beautiful thing. So preparing the way of the Lord, as defined here with John the Baptist's ministry, is pretty powerful because it sets the stage for good news. It sets the stage for mercy. It sets the stage for true forgiveness, forgiveness that comes by grace through faith in the person of Christ. And this is the kind of conditioning, this is the kind of preparation that needs to happen today. And I think we can talk about that in a very interesting way. Well, what was the way of the Lord? And this is also beautifully brought forth. Isaiah 57 and verse 14 says, "Cast you up, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people." I want us to think about that and consider what the psalmist said in Psalm 1 concerning, you know, the standing in the way of sinners. You know, it's interesting that people take on human viewpoint, or they take on a atheistic disposition, or maybe an agnostic disposition. And then, you know, we have, of course, social media, and we have, you know, this platform that then purports that, you know, God is not real, God does not exist. In fact, you know, I remember as a child, I think it was Time magazine that had on this front cover, "God is dead." And that statement, you know, just blaringly being proclaimed. Well, these things become stumbling blocks. But you know what is a very interesting stumbling block for the way of the Lord that needs to be removed? It's the stumbling block of self-reliance, self-righteousness. Or as Paul would say in Romans chapter 10, he said, you know, my people, they have a zeal for God. And this is what John was facing too. They were very observant, you know, for the religious times, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you know, tithe, mint, and rue, you know, but of course they overlooked the weightier matters, it says, of the word and the law. But they were scrupulous in their external observance, and this needed to be repented from. This was a stumbling block in the way to the Messiah and in a way to God's people. But think of this in that, you know, the idea that one can get through life, and, you know, it's kind of like what Malachi was declaring here. God says, you know, return to me and I will return to you. And then the people said, well, Lord, we've never left you. You know, what are you talking about? You know, we're okay. Everything seems to be okay. And this is the deceptive stumbling block in the way, not only back then, but I think right here in the 21st century. And then Isaiah 62 and verse 10 says, go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. Well, you know, we understand that Jesus Christ, he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. See, so what do we want to do in the 21st century is not only get the stones out of the way, get the stumbling stones out of the way, but we want to lift up Christ. We, you know, Christmas has to be an exalted statement about the incarnation. I think I enjoyed so much the discussion yesterday on the broadcast when it just talked about how God came to us. God, you know, God is seeking man. God is seeking, even in the garden, when Adam and Eve fell and they hid themselves because of fear, God came after them. They weren't looking for him. They were trying to get out of Dodge. But God came to them and sought them. And so he is, even now, today. And what are we saying here, or what actually is Isaiah saying here? He says, go through the gates. Now, that's a very interesting. Now, we could understand gates as being the entrance or the exit to a city. But the gates also in the Old Testament were the place where policy was made, where the elders would meet and some jurisdiction was decided for, that would affect the entire community or in the entire city. And so what is said here as in Isaiah is that we need to go through the policies, okay, that it affect a nation, that affect a people. We need to realize that man does not live by bread alone in Matthew 4 and Luke 4, but by what? Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God shall a man have life. And when we have gotten away from the written word, the spoken word, the living word, then we are left with man's word, man's determination, man's value system, the human viewpoint. And this has become a tremendous stumbling block to people getting to Christ. So we want to take a look at this and then make some applications relative to the 21st century as it, you know, pertains to us, because there is that Laodicean spirit today, okay, in Revelation 3:17 that believes it has need of nothing. It says, we are rich. We have wealth, we have position, we have influence, we have comfort, we have convenience, and nevertheless, they don't have the Lord. And so this is the thing that so impacts a viewpoint, so impacts and spills into a Christmas holiday, spills into a Easter holiday, spills into anything that we do and we acknowledge as far as our relationship and celebration to Jesus Christ, because it simply means that God comes again to prepare hearts so that hearts can get to him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen indeed. You're listening live to the Grace Hour, friends, and that's going to wrap up the devotional portion of our broadcast today, but there's a lot to talk about. And we hope that you'll join us. Fill up those phone lines and share what's on your heart in light of what we just heard. Yes, the way. God has prepared the way. God is doing the seeking. Let's not take on ourselves that spirit of Laodicea. What did they say? Oh, we can see. God said, you're blind. Mm. We are clothed like no one else is clothed. You are naked. We are rich. And his conclusion was, you are poor. It's one thing to be able to make an evaluation of ourselves if it's objective and accurate. It's another thing when we're so far off the mark, when we think that we are these things, and God says, as I see it, things are completely, completely different. Self-righteousness is blinding. Self-confidence is equally as blinding. What we need is to get to a place where we have no confidence in the flesh, but our confidence is placed in Him, the one who calls Himself the Seeker, the Savior of the lost. I can't imagine what this world would be like if we didn't celebrate the coming of Christ.
Well, we would be minus what the angels actually proclaimed in Luke chapter 2. You know, it's an interesting thing as we saw our children in the play, the presentation Wednesday, and I just thought that is amazing that they get this truth in their souls early on, and it becomes a foundation for them to understand reality. And I don't think that it's a matter of their age that's so important. It's a matter of the truth that's being revealed to their souls. That's what matters. But so the angels said, you know, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Like, who talks like that? You know, like, that was 430 years after Malachi, you know, and Israel was like off the rails and under oppression, under the Roman government, and vacated from the reality of knowing their God. And then they hear that message. It's an astonishing word for us today.
I love that. I love the fact that they, at a young age, are exposed to that truth. And of course, they grow up with that understanding that Jesus came. And even later in life, when that statement becomes a question, did Jesus really come? Well, the truth of it has already been deposited within their souls. Mm. And the questions may now come out as they get a little older, which is fine. Because if they're just asking questions, God's got all the answers.
He is the answer. Yes. Yeah. And you know, it's interesting, Pastor Love, because, you know, one of the things that is important is that we're not interested in shielding, you know, or isolating, you know, our children or even for ourselves, because the Great Commission sends us into that kind of world. You know, I mean, we can't be intimidated by it or, you know, overwhelmed by it. But instead of being insulated or isolated, I should say, we can be insulated through the Word of God in the soul. And so, you know, I'm so very thankful that we are in a ministry that exalts the Word of God, that esteems the Bible as inspired. I mean, and these are things that have come into question in the 21st century. Well, not just our century, but, you know, higher criticism and everything else that has tried to devalue the Word of God. But we know that it is an eternal word, and God came to fulfill absolutely everything that He said He was going to do, and we can check Him through the Bible and through the Word of God. Mm.
And, you know, when you think about a world that's more and more, we're hearing, you know, it's this world, it's becoming more and more hopeless. Well, the whole purpose of Christ coming was to bring hope back into people's souls. Just as the beautiful hymn says, the hopes and fears throughout all the years are met in thee tonight. And again, it can inspire hope in our hearts, knowing that He has come, and it eliminates fears. And that's the way God wants us to move through life, filled with hope, with all the fears out of the way.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, we have a caller joining us already, and we're glad about that, and want to remind you, friends, that you can join us right away. Phone lines are open. 800-338-7060 is the toll-free number, and the local number is 410-483-3700. Pastor Sturge is joining us right here from Baltimore. Pastor, welcome.
Thank you. You were talking about the play Wednesday night and the kids, and we just went out today with the sixth graders out evangelizing and Christmas caroling down at the Northeast Market, and we shared something with them on the bus before we got out, how it's amazing that thousands of years before the first advent of Christ, and then thousands more years before the second advent of Christ, Jacob is on his deathbed, and he's giving the prophecy about Judah, his son. And it's amazing. He actually gives two prophecies in one. He talks about the lion's whelp, the lion's whelp, the young lion will be born, will be a descendant of Judah, and then about the donkey and the foal, the donkey, and then about his second advent when he comes to visit the earth, not this time as a baby or as a young lion's whelp, but as the lion of the tribe of Judah. And why do we go soul winning? Because we want people to be on the right side. We want people to know the Lamb of God before they have to face the Lion of God. It was really interesting, and just thinking about the because of the certainty of the prophecies of his first coming, just as certain are his second coming. That's why we're here. We're here to introduce people to the Lamb, so that you know, when he comes back a second time as the Lion on the white horse, that will be on his side. we'll be coming back with him. And but just an amazing thought, isn't it? That Christmas is such a fulfillment of all these prophecies of the Old Testament.
Mm. It's as we heard yesterday in the broadcast, Donnie Fisher shared it. It's one of the greatest events in all of human history. God with us, coming into our world with a one great objective: save us, deliver us, bring us into his family, make us his own. Great thoughts, Pastor Sturge. Thanks so much for sharing.
You're welcome. Thanks, guys.
Yes. God bless you, Pastor.
It's going to wrap up the first half hour, friends, but we have another half hour coming right up. A great opportunity for you to join us and to pick up a phone and give us a call live right here on the Grace Hour, 800-338-7060. That's toll-free, and locally 410-483-3700. Thanks for joining us. For the rest, stay right where you are. Coming up your way, another half hour. We're back with you live at gracehour.org, Facebook Live, YouTube Live. Great to have you with us, friends, and we hope to hear from many of you. Fill up those lines and join us on this Friday edition of the Grace Hour. We're going to be live for the next half hour, so we've got plenty of time to take your calls. We don't want you to hesitate, and we want to hear from you. Some great thoughts Pastor Wright shared to get us started. And I like that thought about the stumbling blocks, you know, the stumbling block of self-righteousness. Boy, talk about something that's going to keep you from Jesus. It would be this whole idea that I have a righteousness that I can bring before God, that I can produce based upon my efforts and human merit, that can create more than a stumbling, maybe even a wall.
You know what? It is. We all came from that, didn't we? I mean, that is something that is characteristic of the old sin nature. But at the same time, it's interesting that we are living in a day and an hour, and particularly here in the West, where we have every provision of convenience, and our flesh can be, you know, satisfied and placated to the extent that it's like a drug. You know, it's like we are addicted to this way. We're addicted to technology. We're addicted to the celebrityship, the worship of human beings in that sense, idolatry through various means, and it's no small matter, because it takes the Word of God. None of us here have it in our personalities to be able to rightly divide, you know, between good and evil, and rightly divide between that which is temporal or eternal. But when the Word of God comes, and this is the beautiful thing about Christmas, and that is that God didn't come to just give us something. He came and he gave himself. And when we understand that now we have, you know, this eternal life, this life that never had a beginning and will never have an end, and that is the basis of our relationship with God the Father, then we can have incredible assurance, Pastor, in this troubled world. The world will be troubled. I like what Pastor Don Barnes says. He says, the world will always shout, "Free Barabbas." And we hear it today, free the, you know, I want to be free to do whatever I want to do, whenever I want to do it and how I want to do it. And no one should restrict me or hinder me. Well, that's anarchy. That's, you know, that's lawlessness in the simplest form. And that's very destructive, both to the one who practices it and those who are subject to its practice.
Well, thanks, Don, for sharing that great thought. It is true. It is true. That will always be what the world wants. Mm. You know, give us Barabbas. You can take Jesus. You can crucify him. He's not important to us. David Grabowski says that's an inspiring message, Pastor Wright, for any season. Amen. Especially this Christmas season, but any season. Mm. That message is so practical and so relevant to our lives. And again, friends, we want you to know that you can join us, and we hope you will. Looking forward to taking your calls as we, again, continue what we call our celebration of Christmas. And again, how about up in Harvard of Grace, where you minister, Pastor Wright, not too far from where we're located in the Baltimore area, but the next county north of us in Harford County. Are you sharing on a series of messages surrounding the Christmas season?
You know, it's funny that you asked that, and I couldn't get away from it because it's so essential and so important that we, of all people, you know, speak on this terms. And on the 18th, we're going to go door to door. We're going to go, you know, Christmas caroling. And, you know, it's very interesting, Pastor. Each and every time that we've gone and people come to the door, they are surprised. They are shocked. And then they begin to think and they say, you know, it's been decades since anyone has come to our door, you know, with Christmas caroling or with the gospel message. And you have to say, like, my gosh, you know, like, yeah, that's the environment that we're in. And so when you can find a ministry that can take, you know, young people out soul winning and singing and evangelizing and being, you know, in a play and the presentation of the gospel, many times to unsaved relatives, this is an incredible thing to realize that this is happening and we are a part of this. This is grace of God.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
And it used to be something, as you said, that used to be in the norm.
Yes.
This used to happen, you know, decades ago, people going out in their communities and their neighborhoods, singing those Christmas carols, sharing the gospel. This is something very, very much a part of our culture.
Mm-hmm.
And now, as you said, people are shocked. Like, wow, people still actually do this?
Yeah, that's right. You open your Bible and read it? Well, yes, we do. Yes, we do.
That's amazing.
It is.
Love to hear from you, friends, your thoughts as we, again, speak of the Christmas season. And I marvel every time I kind of reacquaint myself with the whole story of the incarnation because of its impact upon our lives and the way it's impacted our lives. Again, if there's no coming of Christ in the incarnation to begin with, then there's no Christ here on the earth to give himself as a sacrifice for our sins. So the connection between his coming and his crucifixion, you can't separate the two. You cannot look at the babe in the manger without lifting your eyes and seeing the Christ on the cross.
Well, you know, it's very powerful that this was his purpose in coming, and not to be a religious leader, not to be the most moral man or, you know, or anything like that, not to, you know, garner some sort of popularity and celebrityship, all those things that the world looks for. Jesus was not, but he was the very thing that the world doesn't look for, but needs the most.
Absolutely.
And that's to be saved from their sins.
Mm, amen. Let's go to Greenfield, Indiana. Wow. Lori is joining us on the Grace Hour. Hi, Lori. Welcome.
Hello. I love the program. So Don and I were having a Bible study this morning, and we have a question.
Sure.
So we know that Jesus died for the sins of the whole world and that we went to the cross with him, we died with him, and we were also resurrected with him. Are people that will never become a believer, were they also resurrected with him?
I don't think that you could say they were, in the sense that ours is a co-crucifixion. We were crucified with Christ, buried with him, and then raised again in the newness of life. There will be a resurrection of the unbelievers and of those that will ultimately stand before God at a great white throne, but they will not participate in the resurrection of those that have been called by God and saved by his grace.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. I just had never really considered that. And Don asked me, I was like, I think that's really a question for Grace Hour.
Well, Lori, so glad you called in to hear. You know, there are a number of believers, Christians, who still in their mind, they mix up the white throne judgment with the Bema Seat evaluation of, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So this is something that, you know, preciseness in the word, and I won't even say preciseness, but if I am faithful to a local assembly and the Bible's being open and the gifted person, meaning the office of the gift of pastor teacher, is operative in that local assembly, then I'll have clarity on such a major, major truths, you know, as related to, you know, am I saved and or will I be judged at the Bema Seat or will I be judged at the White Throne Judgment? So thank you, Lori, for bringing these things out and helping many others, I think, that are listening today.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, we love it.
The scriptures teach, Lori, that there are what? There are at least seven major judgments that we read about in the Bible. And yet, as Pastor Wright just pointed out, when you talk to some people, you know, they talk about the judgment as if there's just one. But there is more than one. I mean, think about it. There's the judgment at the cross where our sins were judged. The judgment of our sin nature judged there. The judgment of Satan at the cross. Then you have the believer's self-judgment, which is when you and I take the responsibility to confess our sins. We read about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Then there's the Bema Seat evaluation, when believers only appear before God to be rewarded for those things which they had done in their bodies while on the earth. And then there, 1,000 years later, approximately, there's the Great White Throne Judgment. And there will be no believers that will stand before God at the Great White Throne Judgment. They will all be unbelievers.
Yes, yes. Well, that's so true. Well, thank you so much, you guys, for the clarity. And just thank you for what you do.
Thanks, Lori. Thanks for praying for us. And
you,
Merry Christmas to you. That's right.
You too. Thank you, guys. Love you, guys.
God bless you.
Greenfield, Indiana. That's it's the heartland.
Heartland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's all, you know, having visited out there, it's all level. You don't see any hills. You don't see any rolling hills or mountains. It's all just the plains.
Okay.
Yeah. But Lori, Pastor Don, all the believers out there are anything but plain.
That's right.
They're extraordinary.
Lifting up.
Yes.
To Christ.
Amen.
Yeah, so good.
Praise God. You can join us, friends. Those phone lines are open. Quite simple. Maybe if you have a question, as Lori and her husband did, you can pick up that phone and ask that question or make a comment or share a testimony. Counseling needs, we'll do the best we can to help you. And a prayer request, well, yeah, we are thinking of folks like Miriam Kallenbach, hospitalized with COVID at this hour, praying for her healing. John Nielsen, another brother, who is really, he heads up the department here of the church. He keeps this place spotless. Yes. I mean, he's the chief of housekeeping of the entire plaza. A lot of people that assist him and work under his leadership, and he's hospitalized, and we need to be praying for him. Get him healthy and back here with us. Our dear friend, Pastor Dan Leitze, also hospitalized. We have a number of folks that really need God to touch them, heal them, and bring them through.
Well, we do. Father, we thank you that we can agree, and prayer is the provision. We thank God for the hospitals. We thank God for the doctors. We thank God for the medical industry. But, Lord, we look to you. You are the master physician. And, Father, we just know that your love for these individuals and maybe those whom we have not yet mentioned or do not know about, but you do touch and heal. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Now, friends, if you do have a prayer request, please don't hesitate to share it with us, because you're not going to just share it with us. Those three of us here in the studio, you're going to share it with thousands and thousands of believers around the globe, and we'll all be praying for whatever those needs might be. And, of course, if you'd like to make a comment about our theme, which is, you know, a great one, imagine a world without the hope of Jesus coming into it and bringing what? Forgiveness, peace, joy. We could go on and on. Justification, right? Redemption, reconciliation with God, and then taking us and adopting us into his family, placing us in Christ forever, saving us, and then sealing us by his Holy Spirit, and then securing our eternal salvation to such an extent that Paul would write in Romans, the 8th chapter, that nothing present, nothing to come, could ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus.
You know, Pastor, that is a powerful declaration of truth. You know, the idea of Christmas, the idea of giving. Let's talk a little bit about that. You know, when people give during this time, I trust that they're not giving to get. They're not giving because they have gotten from someone else, but that we could really be like the Lord, unconditional in our giving and free to give and free to receive, because this is the expression of the exchange of gifts, you know, and that part of Christmas that we all enjoy and have as a tradition in our homes, and is precious and is beautiful. But the spirit behind that is what's being demonstrated, in as much as that God so loved, he loved this way, that he freely gave his son without any guarantee there would be a receptivity or reciprocation on man's part.
Yeah.
And so, like, do we think that way? Not in the flesh, we don't, but we're learning to think that way through the Spirit. And may the Spirit of Christmas free us up to give freely as we have freely received.
Yeah. You can, sometimes I have imagined if there was a conversation in eternity, in heaven, between Christ and, let's say, the elect angels. And Christ has made his decision. He's going. Mm. He's stepping into our world. And angels would say, well, you know, why would you do that? His answer, because I love them, and I don't want them to perish. But don't you realize that many of them will reject you? I know that, but I'm going anyhow. But they won't be perfect. You'll save them, but their lives will not necessarily reflect what you've done for them. It doesn't matter. My love for them is so great. Heaven won't be heaven unless they're there.
Wow.
You know, I mean, a discussion like that, we don't know. Mm. Just speculation, but nothing was going to keep him from coming. This was the eternal plan of God. In fact, Titus chapter 1, verse 2 says that this is the salvation which God had promised before the foundation of the world, and he cannot lie.
Wow.
I mean, that is so encouraging, because, you know, what we need, some people think, you know, you can ask people, what is this world really need? And you could get a list as long as the kids' list that they send to Santa Claus, and even longer.
Yeah.
But what the world needs more than anything else is a Savior.
Mm. Mm. Well, you know, we talked a little bit about, you know, the highway the highway. And I love Isaiah 35, verse 8, when he says, and a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness.
Wow.
The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. What is that saying to me? You know, like what you're saying, we're not perfect. We're not more righteous than anyone else. We're not, you know, we don't have all of our T's crossed and our I's dotted. But what we have is the way. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if we simply by faith through our relationship with him, through the second birth, keep on following him, well, you know, that way is going to lead right into heaven. Right into his eternal presence, where we will be there forever.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And I think it's so good that we keep reiterating and keep emphasizing that, you know, we can't say to our listening audience, you know, hey, we're saved. We got saved because we were good people, or we were law-keeping individuals. Mm. On the contrary, because that's not how God makes his choice. I mean, remember, we're talking about a God who is not willing that any should perish. And it makes me think of what Paul wrote to the Romans in the 9th chapter when he's talking about God making his decision to save people. It's all on the basis of his grace. That is behind God's salvation, his grace. But when in reference to the choosing of the nation of Israel, he said this, for the children not yet being born, neither having done any good or evil. You see, there it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, you and I cannot say God chose us because we did something good, mm-hmm. or God has rejected us because we did something evil.
Wow.
That doesn't even factor into the purpose of God. But it's just that. It's the purpose of God that we have been saved, and not of works, but of him who calls us.
Well, yeah. And because if it were, then a man would boast, like what you're saying. Hey, you know why? You know, look at what I'm doing. I'll recall a statement from a former mayor of New York City. And with all of his wealth and his influence, he actually was quoted as saying, he says, oh, I know I'm going to heaven. After all the good things that I have done, yes. You know, I'm going to heaven. And I just winced in my soul, and I thought, oh my gosh, you know, like people do really think that. And I thought that, you know, that, I mean, if I could, I would, and I would try, and maybe I would get in on the sincerity of my efforts. But no, it's 100% by grace and grace alone. And we can celebrate that. That's the gift. The gift of eternal life, the G-I-F-T. How do you spell that? G-I-F-T. Okay. And Romans 5:17, the gift of righteousness, G-I-F-T. So we're in a gift-giving season here. Let's receive that gift of eternal life and the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. You get it all. It's a package deal. You get it when you receive Christ. He's the unspeakable gift.
Wow. There we go.
And you receive him. And just think of all of those. But you're talking about when you receive Christ, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know what that means? That's like a child on Christmas morning, and he goes through all those gifts, and he opens them all, and then he turns around and he says, is that it?
Yeah.
Well, God says, oh, no, that's not it. You'll be opening my gifts throughout all of eternity. Because that's the nature of his grace. In fact, Paul wrote to the Ephesians and he said, it's going to take the ages to wow. come to reveal the exceeding riches of his kindness and grace toward us.
You know, see, that's a glorious gospel, Pastor Love, that we're talking about. Because, you know, your illustration of the child opening all these gifts, you know, and got all these, and turns around and says, where's the next
that's
one?
It?
You know, like,
that's all?
Well, as far as Christianity is concerned, you know, somebody could say, I'm thankful that God has forgiven my sins, and park right there. But what you're saying is that, no, come on, there is abundance of grace. and the riches of his glory yet to be discovered. And we can be this part of the highway. Okay, we are wayfaring men. This is not our home. We are on the move. And as we do, we discover more and more how these indestructible, eternal riches that are ours by the grace of God. And so we're on an adventure. It's Christmas every day for us.
Yeah, praise God. If it were just forgiveness, someone said that it would just be God subtracting our sins from us. But it's more than that. It's subtraction. Yes, he removes our sins from us forever. But it's addition. He adds to us a perfect righteousness. And he multiplies grace. And then he tells us to go out into the world and to divide it among others.
Come on.
He's the great mathematician.
The divine mathematics.
Yeah, that's divine. Grace. That's divine math right there. Removal. Subtract sins, add righteousness, multiply grace, and divide this great truth with the rest of the world.
Divvy it up. Come on.
Amen. Well, Teresa has written to us asking us if we could pray for her sister Barbara, it's a sister in Christ. Her name is Barbara, best friend. She has cancer. So please keep her in your prayers. So, Father, we pray for this close friend of Teresa's. Been friends together, close friends for 16 years. She'll be heading to visit her and to see her and visit her during church during this holiday season. We pray, Father, for her healing. We don't know what kind of cancer it is or where it's found and how it's progressed, but we know this, that we know that you love her, and we're bringing her before your throne of grace, and we're asking you to bring a healing touch to her body today in the precious name of Jesus. And may Teresa have a wonderful time of fellowship with her, a time of great encouragement, hope, joy, laughter, and healing that she can share as she visits her close friend. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Wow. Amen. You know, even as you were praying, Pastor Love, you know, that is an incredible gift that every single believer has. We have access into the grace of God. We have access to the throne of grace that we can come boldly, openly, frankly, weekly too, and it's incomprehensible that, you know, who we are having access to who he is brings a result that nothing else will in the lives of others and in our own life. And that's why, I mean, we are above all people most blessed, not better, but blessed by the grace of God.
Yeah. We were talking just the other night about Mary, how she was chosen among women, mm-hmm. not above them. In fact, her testimony was, I'm an object of God's grace. Some would say, well, was she chosen because she was better? Was she more righteous? The answer to those questions is absolutely not. We just finished reading that in Romans chapter 9. It had nothing to do with whether she was good or evil. It had everything to do with the grace of God. And she marveled. And then she said, "In my soul rejoices in God my Savior."
Bing.
Imagine Mary, mm-hmm. who gave birth mm-hmm. to Christ, called him her Savior. Mm. That, I mean, come on. Was there a time when she wondered, I don't know whether to give him milk or praise?
Ah, that's cute.
It had to be.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. And the idea that she had the privilege of being the mother of our Savior in time, but he had the opportunity to save her and be her Savior for all of eternity. So which one do you really want to exalt? Okay.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah, no wonder why her soul magnified the Lord.
Wow.
And I love that, because what was given to Mary as a privilege to be able to magnify the Lord is given to you and I as the same privilege. We get a chance to go through life and to magnify God. And what happened when you used to use the old the magnifying glass? It made everything so much greater and bigger. And so we get a chance to take the name of Jesus and to glorify him and to exalt him and to just proclaim his name to this world. I mean, again, Don Barnes said it earlier. Pastor Don said, you know, the world will always shout, you know, free Barabbas. You know, they magnified Barabbas, a thief, a murderer, a treasonous individual, one who was worthy of death. And yet they did not proclaim or magnify the name of Jesus.
Wow. Well, you know, Pastor, that's very interesting because, yeah, they magnified one who was like unto themselves, and they cried out, crucify the one who is not like us. But, you know, that's the key, is that the only way that any of us are going to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in 2 Peter 3:18 is by knowing that he is different from us, and yet he made the distinct provision for us to become like himself. So how is it that, we should not be surprised that the world wants to keep its own, glorify its own, proclaim its own, exalt its own, whereas we have singularly chosen to exalt Jesus Christ. And in so doing, we magnify what the grace of God has done, not just for our sins in 1 John 2:2, but for the sins of the whole world.
Wow. Powerful thoughts. God became a man so that we could become like God, made and conformed into his own image. That's why he came, friends. And that's why we worship him. And if we are going to do anything in this holiday season, this time where Christmas is fast approaching, let's make sure that worship is at the top of our list.
Yes.
Because this is the best time. This is the right time to do it.
And let's not get distracted with details. And, you know, there's things that we have to do. Yes, indeed. But let it all be pointed to the fact that Jesus Christ came and he lived, and then he died, and then he was buried, and then he was raised, and then he ascended, and there he is now at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make, what, intercession. He speaks on our behalf, and that's incredible. That's why we have joy today, joy to the world. The Lord has come.
Amen. Well, friends, don't forget, here at the Plaza tonight and tomorrow, beginning at 4:30 p.m., live nativity scene. Come and see the story of Christmas played out before your eyes. Come on, join us anytime, 4:30 till 8 p.m. tonight. Also tomorrow, 4:30 to 8 p.m. Don't forget church, Sunday, 9 a.m., 11 a.m., 6:30 p.m. Thanks so much for joining us, friends. And we'll be back, God willing, next week for a brand new week of broadcasting live right here on the Grace Hour.
Thanks for listening to The Grace Hour. Our live program airs weekdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Grace Hour is a ministry of the Greater Grace Church. You are invited to visit Greater Grace at 6025 Moravia Park Drive, Baltimore, Maryland, 21206. For more information, go to gracehour.org or call 1-800-338-7060.